So then guys, if you are familiar with these podcasts, you'll know who I am. I'm John, and I'm a former far-right member. And in this podcast, I'm going to talk a little bit about how being in the far-right affected my mental health in the last couple of weeks of my time involved in the far-right, before, of course, Prevent intervened and I was eventually de-radicalised. Now, I remember at the time, I was angry at everyone and everything, and I think at the time still being in education played a big part of that. I never really took to the school system at all. It just wasn't the way I was going to ever learn. You know, a lot of the times the way that I learn is by watching someone do it, hearing the information, and then trying it for myself. I didn't really get along with this idea of seeing something written on the whiteboard and I've just got to copy it down. You know, I never got along with that style or working out of a textbook. It just didn't work for me. So at 18 years old, somewhere around there, when I was still in college, still having to ask to leave the room to go to the toilet and stuff like that, it's just something that I couldn't get along with in my mind. And because of that, I just didn't want to be there anymore. You know, I felt like I moved on from that in my life. You know, I felt like that stage in my life, I was done with it now. I wanted to go out into the big world and sort of just get on with working, really. But I didn't know what I wanted to do. You know, it was part and parcel of being, you know, not very, you know, not getting very many GCSEs or anything like that. I was told by my teachers that you'll never get a job, you know, you need English and maths, which I didn't have at the time. So I was very angry at the world, you know. I didn't know where I wanted to be, but I knew where I didn't want to be, if that makes sense. And that, you know, left a lot of questions in my mind. On top of that as well, I had a really with us or against us mentality. You know, I thought if you wasn't agreeing with my views and you wasn't agreeing with what I was saying, you was against me. And there was no sort of middle ground, you know, there was no ground for people to say, oh, I don't really care about that topic. If people said that they don't care about that topic, I sort of perceived them to be against me, which sort of was me self-inflicting loneliness, I guess you could say, because very little people agreed with what I was saying, and whenever they said that they didn't agree, I'd push them away, and I'd sort of isolate myself. Now, speaking of isolating myself, you know, I spent a lot of time on my own and in my own head during this period. You know, when I was in college, I would often have headphones in, just listening to music. And the music that I was listening to, it was very nationalist music. And it was a lot of very moody music as well. You know, like sort of aggressive music. And that would further keep me in this aggressive mentality. You know, just constantly ready to clash with people. On top of that as well, I didn't really know who I could trust at the time. You know, of course I had a lot of, you know, a lot of, I was very unsure about my teachers at the time. I wasn't sure if they was going to report me. I wasn't sure if they was going to contact the police. At the time, I didn't really know about Prevent. So I was very sort of cautious about what I said in front of them. But at the same time, I was also very cocky. You know, I didn't hide the fact that I was part of the far right. On top of that as well, a lot of people around me, a lot of the other students, did start to make up rumours. Now, I did say a lot of horrific things in college. I'm not going to try and hide that. I said lots and lots of racist things. However, around that time, a lot of rumours started to pop up and a lot of rumours started to creep in with people going back to, you know, the head of safeguarding and my course leader at the time, telling them that I had made certain comments, which I genuinely didn't make. So sort of looking around me, not knowing who to trust. I remember there was a couple of occasions as well where people had reported me for saying racist jokes. There was one accusation of bullying against one of my friends at the time, and you know, that led to his parents coming into college, and they had to have a meeting where he just basically said, no, he's not bullying me, it's just banter. You know, I felt a lot of people were targeting me, but they wouldn't do it to my face, they'd only ever do it behind my back, so that led to a lot of paranoia for me, and I suppose you can almost say a little bit of anxiety. You know, I didn't know who I could trust, I didn't know who my allies were anymore, And again, this sort of further built onto that "you're with us or against us" mentality. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't blame people at all for not wanting to be around me, not wanting to be my friend at the time. But as you can imagine, when you're sort of looking around at a bus full of 50 people, and you just, a good 80% of them have reported you and reported things that you've said. It's very hard to pick out the few allies that you've got there. And that led to me again further believing that, this is with us or against us mentality, and it further pushed my desire to break away from college and get away from it completely. So when I get home from college, I'd be really, really mentally burnt out. I've just spent, a good, what, 7, nearly 8 hours when you include the travel, sort of trying to be a bit of a, like, a Poirot 2.0 and figure out who's reporting me, trying to look for signs of who's, looking at what I'm doing, trying to watch what I'm doing. On top of that, I'm clashing people constantly as well. People are constantly challenging me on my views. And to be honest with you, I was just so mentally drained by the end of the day. And I'd come home and I'd just sort of isolate myself in my room. I'd get back on the far right forums. And I'd sort of just, disappear into my room and not come back out. Now, I'm not gonna lie, my mum caught a lot of stick. Whenever she'd come in my room, she'd just ask me to do something simple, wash up the pots that I'd used for my evening meal, or just ask me to put some of my clothes in the washing basket, and I'd constantly snap. By the end of the day, I was completely mentally burnt out. I had no sort of, I don't know how to describe it. I couldn't respond to someone in a relaxed way at that point. At that point, it was the littlest thing would make me snap, and I'd, instantly get this rage back. And my mum did cop for it a lot. Especially when it comes to her, sort of challenging me on my views. Because, I only ever really see my mum in the evening, in the morning time. Being a bit of a typical teenager, I'd get up at the last possible moment, end up having to sort of run to the bus stop most of the time. So I wouldn't really see her much in the morning, so it'd always be in the evening that I'd see her. And again, when she challenged me on my views at the end of the day, after I'd spent the whole day challenging people in college, she caught for it a lot. I'd get nasty, and it does bring me shame to say that. But I would, I'd get nasty with her. I wouldn't say I ever got physical with her. There was a couple of times where there was a couple of altercations, but I never raised my hand to her or anything like that. But she would cop for it a lot, and I think this is something that a lot of parents do get. A lot of parents will get the nastier side of things. I think part of it as well is being out of the public eye. If I was really, really aggressive and angry in that sort of fashion in college, I would have got kicked out. It wasn't even being questioned. Some of the things that I was saying, and more so the manner that I was saying it in, easily grounds to kick me out of college. So I knew in college I sort of had to control myself even a little bit. And yeah, as I was saying, my mum caught for it a lot, and this is something that a lot of parents do sort of find when they are challenging their young one when they are involved in the far right. So if you're a parent listening to this and you do want some help and advice, please do not be afraid to message us over at Exit. We have the Exit Family Support Program where we can offer support to any family member who's got a loved one involved in the far right. All our information can be found online. So please just Google Exit Hate. If you Google Exit Hate, you'll be able to find the Family Support Program through our website. It's a fantastic service, so please do use it. Now, finally, before I just end off this podcast, I did just want to touch very quickly on the fact that I had no idea where I was going in life. When I was sort of sitting down assessing what I wanted to do, the college course that I was sort of doing and what I was studying, I had no interest in anymore. Being as I was told by school that you couldn't get a job unless you had maths and English and all these fantastic GCSEs, I genuinely didn't think I'd be able to get a job. Which, by the way, if there is any current far right members listening to this, That's a load of rubbish. I'm gonna be honest with you, it's a load of rubbish. If you're a young person listening to this right now, of course, try your best in your GCSEs, get the best grades possible. But I would say your GCSEs are more like a stepping stone. They're like a stepping stone to get you to the next level. The more stepping stones you get, the easier your life's gonna be. But if you come out of school like me, I came out of school with one GCSE. You can still get a job. You still can, do something with your life. You've just got to work a lot harder to do it. You've got to go to these adult classes at night. Give up your evenings to get this qualification. You've got to do well in college to be able to get it. Your GCSEs are 100% a stepping stone, but don't think it's the be all and end all. Don't write your life off if you don't get all your GCSEs, because you can sit those exams again. Sometimes you just got to work a lot harder to be able to get them though. But yeah, as I was saying, when I during this period of my life, I had no idea where I was going. I had this college course that I was studying that I didn't care about anymore, and I didn't enjoy. I didn't have any GCSEs, so I didn't really think I'd be able to get a job. And as well with my reputation, I was getting known as a racist. I was getting known as this really aggressive guy, and I just didn't see many positive outcomes for myself in life. I remember sitting down one evening, and this is something that I've never really talked about as far as I'm aware before, but I remember sitting down one evening and sort of just assessing where my life was going. I remember sort of thinking, one of two things are going to happen here. I'm rather, and again, this might sound quite extreme, some of you might not believe me, some of you might think I'm talking utter rubbish, but this is genuinely true. I remember sitting down one evening and just sort of thinking, my life's going to go one of two ways. I'm rather going to get arrested at a demo, or I'm going to get stabbed at a demo. One of the two things are going to happen. And they was the only really outcomes, and the only way that I see my life going. And I had subscribed myself to that. I thought, well, there's nothing else. There's no other outcome here. So the far right was something that I cared about at the time. So I thought I might as well dedicate myself to it. If I get nicked, I get nicked. If I get stabbed, I get stabbed. And I'd sort of just given up hope at that point. And it wasn't, long after that Prevent came in. And Prevent, as daft as this sounds, and as much as this sounds like I'm just writing an advert for Prevent, Prevent really did save me. They came in, and all credit to my Prevent IP. He took me out of that mentality. He unscribed me to that way of thinking. He sort of made me realize that, I did have some skills, although there wasn't these academic skills which schools and colleges put this big emphasis on you having. I did have other skills. I had good social skills. I could talk to anyone. I had good confidence. I could speak in front of a group. And I was always a leader. I could always lead a group of people. And this is something that my IP made me realize. He made me realize that although I don't have this little bit of paper that tells me I can do maths, I did have these good life skills that I could use to get myself a job and do well in life in. So he sort of instilled that little bit of confidence back into me. Then from there, we went through the de-radicalization process, which I've talked about multiple times on these podcasts. So if you are interested in how I did get de-radicalized, please check for our playlist, because there'll be one on there somewhere talking about my journey of how I left the far right. But yeah, as I already said, all credit to Prevent, and it's something that we do over at Exit Hate as well, where we make people realize that they can have a better life away from the far right. And if you're listening to this and you're involved in the far right, and you maybe have the same mentality as me, or maybe you still do, where you think there's no other outcome than the far right, the far right is the best you're going to get. That's simply not the case. You might not be able to be, an accountant or a lawyer or any of these top 1% jobs, but I can almost guarantee you can have a very good career and a very good job in something that you're passionate about. You don't always need this little bit of paper to tell you what you can and can't do. You'll all have life skills, and that is a guarantee. We all have life skills. Some of them, aren't as obvious as others. Some of them aren't as obvious as getting a little bit of paper that says you can do this. But everyone has opportunities that they can go far in life. Everybody has their sort of part to play in life, and don't think that part has to be as a part of the far right. So then, guys, if you are listening to this, you want some help and support, you want to speak to us, you want to get yourselves away from the far right, please reach out to Exit Hate. You can find our website just by simply typing Exit Hate into Google. You can give us a call on 0800 999 1945. That's 0800 999 1945. Or you can email us at any time. You can find all our email addresses on our website. So once again, guys, our website is exithate.org. Or simply just type Exit Hate into Google and you'll find us. But yeah, guys, please just reach out and get our support. If you need it for yourself, you need it for your family, we'll be ready and waiting for whenever the time is right for you to message us. As always, guys, there's no judgment, just support with Exit Hate. So do not be afraid to reach out to us. And hopefully we will see you in a podcast very, very soon. Thank you guys for listening.